Well, good morning, and welcome to Daily Inspirations. Name here is Jonathan again, and today I'd like to look at the first chapter of Ephesians and see what we can gain from this valuable book in the New Testament. In the book of Ephesians, Paul was writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he was writing primarily more to a mature church. In many of his other letters to the Corinthians and to the church of Philippi, in the book of Philippians and the book of Galatians, he was writing to churches and oftentimes solving a particular problem or working on particular needs they had. In the book of Ephesians, we find more a book of general doctrinal principles and not so much of the problem solving or working on particular needs. And so I'm thinking in the next couple of days to look at various chapters of Ephesians. So for today, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And this is mainly an introduction, a greeting, a general overview of the blessings we have in Christ, and then Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the church and various things there. So I want to first just read through this chapter, and then we'll look at some of the key blessings here and there throughout the chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, so in this chapter here, Paul starts out the first two verses. He's just declaring he's an apostle by the will of God, and he's writing to the saints in Ephesus, and he says, who are faithful in Jesus Christ. He wishes them grace and peace from God, and then he goes and talks the next number of verses about the spiritual blessings we have because of Jesus. So in verse 3, verse 4, talks about the blessing of Jesus Christ, and has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, where else do spiritual blessings come from but God himself? And so in this world, in the spiritual world, it's pretty much we have spiritual blessings from God or in a spiritual sense, everything that is not of a spiritual blessing, everything dark, of course, as we know, comes from the devil. So Christ, the spiritual blessing sent from heaven, to live among men, to show us the way. And then later he talks about the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our salvation. He talks about being chosen in the next couple verses. Verse 4, he chose us from the foundation of the world, chose us to be holy and blameless. And then in verse 5, he talks about being predestined for adoption. And so we're created by God. But after the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve, and the subsequent sinful nature of every person in this world, because of that, we are to a degree in the power, we're in the control of Satan. But it says here, God has predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of Jesus' death, that perfect lamb. The Old Testament lambs could not wash away sins. They simply covered it and satisfied God's wrath for the time. But now Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Because of that, we can be adopted, maybe we would say adopted back into God's family, where he intended for us to be. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, people have defined grace in different ways, but I define it, and it can be defined in a lot of ways, but I simply call it God's enabling power to do the will that he wants us to do his work, to live his way. And so he enables us. He gives us that grace. Redemption through Jesus Christ in verse 7 he's talking about. And so what does he mean here in these verses when he talks about predestined? If we compare the rest of Scripture, we know that everyone has a choice. God gives everyone a choice. No one is guaranteed in because of who they are. No one is knocked or kept out of the kingdom unless we ourselves keep ourselves out by not serving Christ. And so the rest of Scripture would make it clear that we are not automatically predestined to either go to heaven or go to hell. But rather, we need to look at this as God's saints are predestined. We have the option of serving God and going to heaven and being his children, or we have the option of choosing our own way, self, and those things. But if we choose to serve Christ, if we choose to serve God his way, then he has predetermined, he has predestined that those that do that will be adopted into him. And so think of the predestination as being predestined for whoever chooses, I believe is the most accurate understanding of this passage. So then moving on, it says we are We have redemption through his blood, the blood of Jesus. And he's lavished upon us his riches in wisdom and insight, making us know the mystery of his will. What a mystery it is to the world around us to have the peace and the joy that God gives and not be caught up in the turmoil and wickedness of the world around us. He goes on then and talks about our inheritance, again, predestined according to his purpose, who works all things, and just giving us a broad range of what Christ has done and what he wants us to be in serving him. The hope of Christ, he talks about the gospel of salvation. We are sealed. Here in verse 13, I want to look at this. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, or possession of our inheritance. And so we have an inheritance in heaven, being able to forever live with God and Jesus who died for us. And he said the promised Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. And so when God's Spirit, when we are serving the Lord and his Spirit is in our lives, that is our guarantee. We know because of God's Spirit in our hearts that as long as we are faithful, as long as we keep serving the Lord, as long as he gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us, that is our guarantee of the inheritance that is coming for us. So what a blessing. Paul finishes up this passage then with the with some final verses. He talks about he heard of the faith of the saints in Ephesus, and he doesn't cease to give thanks for them in verse 15, remembers them in his prayers. He talks about their eyes being enlightened as they serve God and how they're showing the power of God in their lives. Finishing here with verse 22, he says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The last two verses here of the chapter, speaking obviously of Christ. And who is, I really should back up and catch verse 21, 2, and 20. So the Apostle Paul ties so many things together, and it's just, you can hardly pick a verse without the others around it. Verse 20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come, and put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So God bless you today as you rejoice in serving him in all those things that Christ has given us through his Holy Spirit.